This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sharafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'du. My brothers and sisters, the topic of my khutbah today is justice and ihsan. We hear this ayah in every Jummah khutbah, in practically every masjid on the face of the earth. And that ayah is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْحَى أَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands justice and ihsan, which can be translated as excellence, which is mercy and forgiveness, and courtesy to your relatives, al-qurba, your relatives, close relatives. He forbids indecency, wickedness, and aggression, and he instructs you so that perhaps you will be mindful. Let us focus on just two words in this ayah for today. The first one is Al-Adl and the second one is Al-Ihsan, justice and excellence. Al-Adl is justice. Justice is not natural. Justice is a choice, a decision. You decide that you want to make it happen. You decide if you want to stand for justice, even if you stand alone. And I would say, especially if you stand alone. Because if not you, then who? If not me, then who? That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded it. It won't just happen. It happens only when there is an intention followed by firm, sustained, consistent action. There is no justice in nature. Lions don't say, for example, only one of us must hunt one antelope. We must be just. Three lionesses will go for the herd of impala and stampede it into a shallow ravine in which four others are waiting. As the impala stampede down the ravine, they attack them in the most energy efficient way possible, and one or two of the impala die only because they were on the outer edge of the stampeding herd. The zebra calf at birth imprints the stripe pattern on the hindquarters of his mother, not because he loves abstract art, but because if he can't find his mother, in the herd of a million migrating animals, no other zebra mother will nurse him, even though she may be nursing her own calf. If he can't find his mother, he will die. Justice is not natural, but justice is the single most prominent sign of civilization. That is why Islam is all about justice. Anthropologist Margaret Mead was asked by a student what she considered to be the first sign of civilization in a culture. And she said, "When I discovered a skeleton with a fractured femur which had healed, I could see where the broken bone had healed and fused back." They asked her, "Why?" She replied, "In nature, when an animal breaks a femur, it's a death warrant. It can't run. It can't hunt or escape hunters and predators. It dies. A broken femur that healed means that there was someone who took care of that individual until he healed. That was the beginning of civilization." I wept when I read that, as I weep now, because it reminds me of how barbaric we have become. It reminds me that all the veneer of education and sophistication is just that, a veneer. Beneath it lies the barbarian, the unjust, the real savage, who will kill children who are not his own, who will rape and plunder if he can do it with impunity, who needs force to render him harmless. So are we truly civilized? To be civilized is to be self-regulated. To be civilized is to care for others who don't matter to us in any material, urgent way. To be civilized is to do what is right, not because it is convenient or profitable or safe, but because it is right. To be civilized is not just to eat well yourself, but to ensure that nobody goes to bed hungry. To be civilized is not to wear good clothes yourself and live in palaces, but to ensure that nobody is naked and living on the street. The principle on which this self-regulation is based is called justice. Justice is not natural. Justice is the basis of being civilized. Because to be civilized is not natural. It is a choice. It is a reflection of the divine, because the source of justice is the divine, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Justice is evidence that we have a creator who loves us and is concerned for us, and so taught us how to self-regulate our natural desires in a way that results in safety and caring for all of us. Justice is the criterion on which we will be judged when at the end of our lives we will meet the one who gave us that law. It is the law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us when He commanded in the Quran, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. This is the world of cause and effect. If you want to change an effect, you must address its cause. Peace is an effect. Its cause is justice. Without justice, peace can never be established. Without justice, any apparent peace is only a recess between walls. There are two truths about justice which we all know very well. One, that injustice to one is injustice to all. Two, that justice can never be established until those that are not affected by injustice are willing to stand up against it. The question is, what are we willing to do about establishing justice? We will do that only when we see how not establishing justice will come around to bite us. I know that self-interest is not the most noble of motives, but I say that if that is what it takes for us to stand up, so be it. But stand we must for those who can't. Stand we must because it is about us, not about them. That is what Rasulullah ﷺ commanded us to do in the famous hadith of Abu Sayyid al-Khudri, who narrated that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered, whoever sees an evil, let him change it with his hand, or if he is not able to do that, let him change it with his tongue, and if he is not able to do that, then with his heart. And that is the weakest of faith. And this is in Sahih Muslim. The purpose of Islam is to establish justice in our lives, which begins with worshipping the one Jalla Jalaluhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created us. In Islam, justice is the fundamental principle that emanates from the truth of accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. For He said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kunu qawwameena bil qisti shuhada'a lillahi walau ala anfusikum abil walidaini wal aqrabin in yakun ghaniyan aw faqira. Fallahu awla bihima, fala tattabi'u al-hawa an ta'dilu wa in talwu aw tu'ridu fa inna allaha kana bima ta'maluna khabira. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the famous ayah, which was written as the finest example of justice on the wall of Harvard Law School, Allah said, O believers, stand firm for justice as witnesses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it is against yourselves, your parents or close relatives, be they rich or poor. Allah is best to ensure their interests, so do not let your desires cause you to deviate from justice. If you distort the testimony or refuse to give it, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is certainly all aware of what you do. The purpose of justice is to create a society and world that is good for all, not only for the elites who have wealth and power. Justice is the criterion of civilization, and that is defined by how society takes care of those in need. Today we live in a world where we express ourselves in terms of accumulated wealth alone. Our aspirations are exclusively material. Our so-called education is merely skill training, no matter how sophisticated or complex. Net worth means amount of money in the bank. Tell me, where in our education do we have space for ethics and morals and values? But ethics, morals and values is the framework based on which we navigate through the journey called life. Who teaches that? Where? Being civilized is judged on the basis of how we behave, how we treat others, especially those who don't have power. It is based on the state of the weakest, not the wealthiest. Being civilized is based on the loftiness of thought and ideas, not the loftiness of buildings. Being civilized is reflected in our speech and actions, in our manners, not in the diamonds we wear or the gadgets we flaunt. It is human behavior, not technology, which defines a nation. That is the greatest deception that we have inflicted on ourselves today. We have created an upside-down world, and then we wonder why there is misery. Justice is the criterion of civilization, and that is predicated on how society takes care of those who need care. Today we live in a world where we express ourselves in terms of accumulated wealth. Net worth means amount of money in the bank. But being civilized is judged based on the state of those who don't have wealth. It is based on how they are taken care of. To be civilized means to take care of those who are weak and who need care. We live in an upside-down world, and then we wonder why there is misery. Then there is the other word, which is something more than justice, al-ihsan, something more valuable in the sight of the one before whom we will be called, something which indicates the peak of all virtue, and that is al-ihsan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described al-ihsan in the famous hadith Jibreel as to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see him, and though you can't, and though you don't see him, know that he sees you. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. This doesn't apply to salah alone, but to every aspect of the life of a Muslim. That means you and I. Al-Ihsan is how we live. Rasulullah ﷺ demonstrated that in his entire life. One of the most powerful instances of it was during and after Fatah Makkah. What do we see there? We see the commander of a conquering army in the 7th century entering the city that he had conquered, mounted on his camel. But how? His blessed head bowed so low that it almost touched the pommel of the saddle. Not cheering and shouting, as was the custom and culture of the time and totally acceptable to this day, but saying, La ilaha illallah wahda, sadaqa wa'ada, wa nasara abda, wa hazama al-ahzab wahda. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah alone. He fulfilled his promise to his slave, and he helped his slave, and he defeated the confederates alone. Then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, purified the Kaaba from all idols and pictures around and inside it, and prayed inside the Kaaba. Then he returned to the doorway, standing on its elevated step, gazed in thankfulness at the huge crowd below, and delivered this celebrated address, where he said, the meaning of which is, there is nobody worthy of worship but Allah alone. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahda. He has no associates. La sharika la. He fulfilled his promise to his slave and helped him and defeated all the confederates alone. Sadaqa wa'ada wa nasara 'abda wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda. Then he said, bear in mind that every claim of privilege, whether that of blood or property, is under my heel. Means it is finished. Except that of the custody of Al-Kaaba and supplying water to the pilgrims. Bear in mind that for anyone who is slain, who was killed, even though semi-deliberately, with a club or whip, for him the blood money is very severe. 100 camels, 40 of them to be pregnant. O people of Quraysh, surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has abolished from you all pride of the pre-Islamic era and all conceit in your ancestry, because all men are descended from Adam and Adam was made out of clay. Alayhi salam. He sallallahu alayhi salam then recited, Ya ayyuha an-nas inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qaba'ila lita'arafu inna akramakum 'indallahi yatqakum innallaha 'alimun khabir. He said, he recited this ayah of Surah Al-Hujurat, which means, O humanity, indeed we created you from a male and a female and made you into peoples and tribes so that you may recognize one another. Surely the most noble of you in the sight of Allah is the most righteous among you. Allah is truly all-knowing, all-aware. He then asked, O you people of Quraysh, what do you think about how I will treat you now? They replied, Ya Akhil Kareem, Ibn Akhil Kareem. He said, O noble brother and son of our noble brother, we expect nothing but goodness from you. Upon this, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, I speak to you in the same words as Yusuf alayhi salam spoke to his brothers. La tathrib alaykum al-yawma yaghfirullahu lakum wa huwa arhamur rahimin. We have the ayat of Surah Yusuf, where Yusuf alayhi salam said, Qala la tathrib alaykum al-yawm yaghfirullahu lakum wa huwa arhamur rahimin. Yusuf alayhi salam said, there is no blame on you today. May Allah forgive you. He is the most merciful of the merciful. Then he said to them, Idhabu fa'antumut tulaqa. Go, you are free. And that is why the people of Makkah, after Fath Makkah, who used to be there, the Quraysh, are called the freed slaves of Rasulullah. That is the meaning of al-ihsan. It would have been just and fair for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to have punished the evildoers who had mercilessly persecuted him and his family and companions. He had the power to do that. It would have been just for him to demand compensation, even punitive compensation, for loss of property and mental and physical anguish and torture that he and his companions had been subjected to by the Quraysh. But he didn't. Instead, he forgave them all. That is more than justice, because mercy is more than justice and is the root of forgiveness. The action of Rasulullah ﷺ is unique in the history of mankind and a shining example of anyone in authority and who has the power to retaliate. He or she must pause to ask, what did Rasulullah ﷺ do in this situation? And then do that. The seerah is the tafsir of the Quran and it is the field book for those who want to live by it. This is what we are reminded to do every Friday, to be just and then to be more, to be merciful, because the one above the heavens is merciful to those who are merciful on earth. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy and forgiveness for all of us and to keep us safe from his displeasure and anger. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.